are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would just speak into our midst tonight. And we just give you thanks for what's already happened today. I just thank you for the word this morning, and Lord, that is just bringing life to so many people as they follow out the steps of your word. And so, Lord, let tonight be no different, and we just give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to be in church. It's great to have so many people in church. And I just, tonight, my title, the title for the message, My Jesus is Jesus is on the Water. And we will get to that. Last weekend, I was away. We went away to Deniliquin up in New South Wales and did a little bit of water skiing. And, well, I didn't do any water skiing. I watched from the boat, but just was too cold for me to get into the water. But we were sitting around the campfire. We're sitting around the campfire at night, and I think my wife brought the question up, but she asked us, we all had to answer the question, what would you say to your younger self? So just think about that for a minute. I know some of you are so young that you can't say anything to your younger self, but, you know, even if you're, you know, 20 or 21, what would you say to your younger self? Just have a think about that for a minute. What would you say to your younger self? I asked someone that this morning and they said, there are so many things that I would have said to my younger self. But anyway, just in the moment, I answered the question that, I said, from a financial point of view, I'd probably take more risks. Not negative risks, but just more risks financially and, you know, things like, you know, investing in land or something like that. As I look now, as I think the first block of land I bought was $10,000. I think I saw one for sale locally, which was half the size of that, for about $600,000 last week. So I thought about that, but it also made me think about my walk with God and faith. Faith in itself, and you would have heard it in the past, some people say faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. And so in my walk with God and in my faith, I would take more risk and see the outworking of that. And so that was going through my mind. And so if we have a look at Hebrews 11, and this is the famous chapter on faith. But Hebrews 11 verse 1, and it's just up here. So now faith is the assurance, and this is from the Amplified Classic version. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And if we have a look at the New Living Translation, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So we hope for them, but we cannot see them. Very much these days, we live in a I get what I can see sort of world. We don't look into the things that we cannot see, and without a relationship with God, those things are very, very gettable. And for a lot of people, that's what they're chasing after. But that's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live a life of faith. And so we hope for it, but we can't necessarily see it. We look at the examples, some of the examples in that chapter in 11. It talks about Noah. Noah, classic example of faith. Crazy faith, you might say. Spent, I think, 100 years building an ark that there was no water. It didn't exist. And he's building an ark. And so that was, he couldn't see the water, but God gave him a picture of things to come. Classic sign of faith. When Israel marched around Jericho, they couldn't see the walls down, but out of obedience, they walked around the walls and they came down. And then we see with Jesus where he said, "You of great faith," to the Roman centurion who brought it, like he had no understanding really of who Jesus was. He just heard. And the centurion came to him and said, I have a paralyzed servant boy. And Jesus says, "You have great faith." And the servant boy was healed. All three things weren't in existence before, but there was hope that it would come to pass, and they came to pass. And so all these things are examples of a life of faith. And the story tonight is Jesus on the water. So I just want you to watch this clip for 2 minutes. Awesome. Matthew 14, 22 to 33. If you've got your Bibles there, follow them if you can. If you want to take notes, you can do that on your phone or on a notepad. So this is the story that we've just seen. Matthew 14, 22 to 33, the Amplified Version. Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile, distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. I am. Stop being afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. And as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me from death. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat knelt and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. As I read this passage and I started to study it, it just really linked in with that question that I had about you know, living with risk and living by faith. As I looked at this passage, I just got too much to do it in 1 week. There is so much in this passage of 11 verses. And so we're going to start tonight, and I'm going to finish it on Sunday morning in a couple of weeks. And so there's 5 quick things that I got from this passage about living by faith. And so take notes if you want to, but we'll just quickly run through these things. And the first thing that I saw as I read it is if we have a look, you can follow it on the screens, at verse 22, it says that he made them. It wasn't by accident that he put them into the boat. And it says, then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he was away, while he sent away the crowds. Now, these disciples were fishermen. They would have probably known what was coming. There was no guessing with them. They would have known that there was trouble coming on the waters. They would have seen this before. They would have known what happened at this stage. And yet, what we see here is that the disciples got into the boat anyway. Notice the story didn't have a discussion between Jesus and the disciples, whether it was a good idea or not a good idea to get into the boat. See, when we become a disciple, our life is not our own. We're given direction. Trust and obedience are very important in our day-to-day comings and goings. If we have a look at Jeremiah 7:23, it says, But this thing I command them, listen to and obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and you will walk in the way which I command you. And this is the bit that I want to highlight. When you get doubts about whether you should obey what God brings, it says, so that it may well be well with you. So that it may be well with you. So let me ask you a question. At the end of this first point, he made them, and it wasn't by accident. Are you being directed each day? Or is it your agenda? Are you being directed each day? Or is it your agenda? Second thing we see out of this is, it's often in the storm or in the darkness. And we see Matthew 14:24-25, it says, But the boat by this time was out at sea, many furlongs. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Now, the Sea of Galilee, if we just have a quick look at this next picture, I just want to give you a picture. That is a map, and I know it's hard to see, but that's a map of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 21 kilometres from top to bottom. And so it is actually, you know, some of the versions in the Bible call it a lake. It's a very big lake if it's a lake. And so, you know, we can talk about nice Bible stories, but the reality of this sea is that as it is today, when this sea gets to a storm point, it gets very, very rough. And boats don't stay out in the water when there is a storm and it gets rough. They actually go back and they moor to the closer to the edge of the water. And so when we get a picture, if we just go to the next picture, that gives you a picture of the size of the Sea of Galilee. It is very significant. It is no small pond or lake. It is fairly big. And so when we talk about the storms, and we can see there in this scripture that it talks about between 3 and 6 a.m., this is where Jesus often does his best work. And we can see it when people are in the storms of life and when there's darkness around, we can see how Jesus works. We could see it with the woman caught in adultery. She was in the middle of a storm in life, and Jesus stepped out toward her in that middle of that storm and in the middle of that darkness. When we saw the woman who has had the issue of blood, she'd been in a storm in darkness for 12 years, and she reached out in faith to touch Jesus' garment, and she was healed, and he said she had great faith. The opportunities to step out in faith are often in a storm or surrounded by darkness. And whether it is in your own life, whether there's storms in your own life or those close to you, or in someone you come across or someone you hear about, you may not be able to see. You may not be able to see, like we said, it's not what we can see, the outworking. But it's what is stepping out in faith is all about. The assurance of things we hope for and the evidence of things we can't see. And so when we see the storms in our own lives and those around us, and we see darkness, that's the opportunity where Jesus is going to shine brightest. He is going to shine brightest in that moment, and he is with us in the storm and in the darkness. So let's be wary of that. It's often in the storm and in darkness that Jesus shines the brightest. The third thing we see here is it isn't always convenient. Now, we can see here in the scripture in verse 25 where it says, the fourth watch between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Who does their best work between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. here? Who does? You, Trent. You, that's when you do your best work. I don't see any other hands. It's not a convenient time of the day to be stepping out in faith between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And so I had a guy at work. His name was Peter, and we used to have a bit of argy-bargy at work, and this is years ago. And he had this saying, so we'd play practical jokes on each other. And his little saying was, expect it when you least expect it, the return of favour, that is. And so when you are living a life of faith, it isn't at the most convenient times that things happen. God's timing doesn't always line up with ours and doesn't always make sense. Walking on the water at 3 a.m. isn't the ideal time. Like, it's not ideal to probably, we think, to be walking on the water at any time. But I reckon at 3 a.m., when it's really rough and really dark, it's not the ideal time. But God doesn't come to us at the time of convenience, does he? It's not inconvenience. It's not when the time's right. We'd like it to be, but it's not when the time's right. And it's interesting, I surveyed some of the guys in the office this week. Girls and guys in the office this week. I just want to get that right. But there are two examples. Like, let me just give there two examples of faith that I talk about here. And one is that I would say a life faith, where you make a decision, a big decision in your life, where you need to step out for the long term, and it changes things for the long term. And then there's what I would call circumstantial faith, where in the moment that you're in, there's an opportunity to step out in faith with someone who may need healing or something along those lines. Or, you know, the walls of Jericho was a circumstantial moment of faith where they stepped out and were obedient in the moment. Well, I asked, a few of the people in the office about times where they really have had to step out, where they've taken a big risk in faith. And we've heard a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but I asked Andy what his moment was, and he said that he his moment of stepping out and taking a risk in faith was when he finished, when he said, "I'm not doing uni at this." Correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, "I'm not doing uni anymore. I'm going to go and work for Woolworths full time." Is that right? That because that didn't make sense. It made absolutely no sense. And when we think of faith, when we think of that decision in faith, he didn't see the outworking of where it is now, and there's further to go in that decision. But he didn't see that. God didn't say to him, "Well, if you go and work for Woolworths, you'll be the lead pastor of LMC in this many years." God didn't say that to him. That's not the way it worked. And I know when it was same answer for Graham and Chris when I asked them the question. Their answer was that when they were actually in ministry on the ministry staff here, and you guys can correct me too. And they said that their biggest decision was actually stepping out of here to go and basically kids were in school, had to pay for school fees and everything like that, and they stepped out of ministry here to go out and be itinerant or where God took them. But they didn't know that the outworking was going to be where they are today. God didn't say that this is where it's going to be. They didn't plan that and go, "Righto, God, let's one and one make two. And so if we leave, we'll get called back in and then we'll be..." That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. I think, Nick, you said as well when one of your biggest decisions was actually to come on staff here. Was that right? Because it didn't make sense. She was in the middle of a uni course and she... step back in. These are life faith decisions. These are all decisions. Mine was not that dissimilar. I was running a business down in Hastings and the opportunity came here to be youth pastor and it was all good. Had my own car, paid for by the business. The business was a good business, had good people working there, had a good boss. It was all really good. But the decision wasn't based on, okay, well, it's, you know, the decision, well, you can't see the outworking to where that's going to end up. But life faith decisions aren't always convenient. And then they don't always seem like, when God really calls you and you get a piece on that decision, it may not be the one and one makes two. It doesn't always work that way. And so it's the same with circumstantial things. I remember when we were travelling around Tasmania when I was about 21 years old and we'd just gone for 4 days over a long weekend and we got round to a place called Ulverston and one of my dad's mates was at a church there and he said to us, we turned up to stay with them for a night and he said, "We've just had an issue the night before and there's a kid that, three kids were playing with Ouija boards and it all went pear-shaped. And the kid's eyes turned white and in the back of his head. And two girls were scared witless, locked himself in a room and he was trying to get to them in the room. And so he said, can you come and pray with us with this kid because he needs prayer?" And he ended up making the decision for Christ and everything like that. But it wasn't convenient on my holiday weekend to be called out like that. You know, when I'm working over at Bunnings and, you know, God says, "I want you to pray for that person." It's not convenient. But that's not what faith's about. Faith isn't spelt convenience. And so we've got to, you know, when Peter stepped out onto the water at 3 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever it was, and the wind was blowing, it wasn't ideal. It wasn't the best time to be doing it. But we can't think of our life and the moments of faith as convenient. And so we've got to expect it when we least expect it. And if we close our eyes off to the opportunities that God puts before us, they may never come. I wonder how many other people in the boat after that took place said, "I wish I'd stepped out onto the water." You know, Jesus said, "You have little faith," but he had a crack. And it doesn't, and this will be the next part of a message, it doesn't mean it's always going to go smoothly. But it's really important that it isn't always convenient. So if we go to the fourth thing, we will possibly experience fear. There's a reality of life. And those around you may experience fear when you step out in faith. The Word of God talks about fear because God knows it is a reality. Fear was going to be a sure thing after what took place in the garden when trust was broken between God and man. When man broke trust with God, it wasn't a thing where you know, God was unsure about what was going on. God was sure about what was going on, but as soon as the other voice was listened to, there was a trust problem. And so what happens now is when God calls, sometimes we get fearful because we're not sure where it's coming from. Fear is real. Isaiah 41 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." The reality is going to be fear. Sometimes when we step out into a life of faith, it's easy to be safe. Sometimes it's easy to be safe, but we need to step out even when there is fear. And the important thing we see in this picture is that Jesus, as much as there was fear, Jesus was with them in the storm. There is one thing you can guarantee, and let's just flick back to Jesus sent them out. It was an obedient step. He knew there was going to be a storm. Sometimes you're going to be sent into a place where there's going to be storms. It's not fun. The reality is that's not fun. But Jesus never said, like, you know, sometimes in my early years as Christians, I think maybe I heard him wrong, but I heard people say when you become a Christian, everything's going to become easy. It's not a reality. The reality is sometimes, and we need to hear it, please hear it, Jesus will send you into a place where there will be storms and there will be darkness. And sometimes that's going to be, you know, obviously we get there on our own sometimes by stupid decisions, but sometimes that's where God's going to send us because that's where it's needed. Faith is needed in those places, in the storms. So fear is real. But don't forget, even when you feel fear, it is a feeling. So do not fear, for I am with you. Jesus said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He was with them in the storm and he will be with you in the storm. And the last one, number five, is he is a ghost. They said, is it a ghost? And Peter said, no, it's not a ghost, it's Jesus. You know, sometimes in our life there are questions we have when we might be seeing a storm in other people's life, or there might be a situation and there's a lot happening and there's a lot going on and we're not sure whether Jesus is in the middle of it with us. Now, in this point with the disciples in the storm, Jesus was who we have today is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so in the picture of what we have in our lives and the way we outwork our lives, it's the Holy Ghost that sometimes in the middle of the storm we think, is God with us? Well, it's the Holy Spirit that is with us. And he says that he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and to give us all we need to do in life, to comfort us. And so the reality of what we see here in this picture of the storm is that we need to have our ears open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't, we're probably going to be living in fear. And the Holy Spirit will come in the midst of what is going on and the storms are blowing. And it's interesting that Jesus, if we go back to verse 22 or just thereafter, Jesus sent the disciples out and they just had the feeding of the 5,000. And he sent the people away and Jesus went to be on his own. And I've said this a few times over the last few weeks when I was talking about as he is, so are we in this world. If it's good enough for Jesus to be able to go and spend time with the Father, if Jesus had to do it, because he had to get the picture from the Father what was going on, and he only did what the Father was going to do, then it's good enough for us. And the more time we spend, and it's not just listening to sermons and they're great things, but the more time we spend on our own with the Father, when the Holy Spirit comes or when Jesus comes on the water, we're going to know exactly what is going on. And it's really, really important that we do what Jesus did, spend time in that place. And there are going to be situations in our lives and with the people around us where they're going to be in the midst of storms and the boat's going to be rocking, and we're going to be like Jesus to them walking on the water, because they're going to see Jesus in us. And they're going to call out in fear because they don't know where the answer is. But the answer is inside of us. The Holy Spirit is with us all the way. And as I was preparing this, and I'm going to tie off now really quickly, but I really felt that I needed to do this tonight. And I'm not going to have any music or anything, but with the Holy Spirit, I know there's people here, and you have had the voice of the Holy Spirit, or you're not sure of the voice of the Holy Spirit, and your relationship with God has dwindled, and it's not what it used to be. And God was really strong with me on this, that there are people here who don't even know or understand the voice of the Holy Spirit and don't understand the Holy Spirit. And God wants to fill you tonight with the Holy Spirit, or refill you tonight. And so I don't want to emotionalize this, but if you know that's you, I want you to quickly come forward and we're just going to quickly pray with you. If you want a refilling of the Holy Spirit, or you want the Holy Spirit to be alive in your life like you've never known or never understood before, I just want you to come forward now. Gutsy call. Just come forward. I'll just wait a minute. If I could grab an elder or a pastor or one of the leaders to just come out, and if you can just pray, if we can get one person for each person. So we need eight. There's one other person. If that's you, I need you to come out. Your heart will be going a million miles an hour. Keep praying, guys. I'm just going to pray a prayer over everyone, but keep praying. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, you said you would send the Holy Spirit for us. And that picture of Jesus coming on the water is the Holy Spirit in our lives. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, I pray that, you know, there's gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. There's guidance, there's comfort, there's all sorts of things that come with the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, for those who are first time here for your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just fill them right now in Jesus' name. That your power be evident, God. Just fill them, God. Thank you, Jesus. If you've been prayed for and you start to feel the need to speak in tongues, then that's okay. Just do that. I just want to encourage you guys that step forward. And it is a gutsy thing to step forward, but God's going to honour that. And just for you guys who've never had an understanding of the Holy Spirit and never been filled with the Spirit before, I just want to encourage you, just be ready for different things to start to outwork in your life. God's done it. Start to read up about the Holy Spirit as well, and the reality of that. Will begin to happen. But let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to close in prayer, and we're going to sing the first song. Is that okay, Ken? Great. Father, we just thank you for your word, and Lord, I just thank you for the power of it. And Lord, as we step out in faith in our lives, as we take risk in terms of our walk with you, in whether it be life, faith, or circumstantial situations. Father, I pray that the reality of you coming on the water, we will see changes in the lives of others around us. And Father, that it will be a reality. And so we just give you thanks for these things. Name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.